We've just finished 2 weeks talking about finances. We never do that. We usually stay with one topic for a week and push through it. The reason we spent 2 weeks is this is one of the most important things you'll do for your children. Either you raise a child who can handle money, or money will handle that child all his life.
That's Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and you're listening to Parenting Today. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and yes, we're finishing 2 weeks talking about raising your children to be financially mature. And it's a lot of work, but it's totally worth it.
It is worth it, and we've got to catch a glimpse of the goal. You know, one of the things that, Ruthie, your generation and my wife have to deal with is constant catalogs. You thought you had the right one, and you thought you had enough, but catalogs come in. Our children won't deal with catalogs. Our children will walk in a house, and when they walk in a house, there will be a big screen on the wall, and it'll be the total communicator screen. All mail will come there. There'll be no more postage stamps. Mm-hmm. All bills will come on there. But when you walk in a room, because of what's in your wallet, in your purse, or whatever on your belt, probably on your watch, when you walk in, that screen will come alive. Hi, Ruthie. It'll say on the screen, verbal or not. And then it'll ask you, what do you want? And you'll say mail. And then it'll ask you bills, catalogs, and you'll say catalogs. And those catalogs will open to things that are already predetermined that you like that kind of thing. Just like Amazon right now knows I like to order either Bible commentaries or specific rerun television shows.
Facebook is like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll come right at you on that screen. And when somebody else walks in the room, the screen will split in half and do you both at once. But here's what will happen. You will look at a pair of shoes that are similar to shoes you've purchased in the past that are on sale right now. They will show you in the color you tend to like, or you can ask for a different color of shoes. And then they'll say, do you want it? And all you have to say is yes, no. Done. Those are on their way at that point. UPS is bringing those to your house. The impulse control necessary for the next generation will be inconceivable because they will have the privilege, if you programmed it, of showing you what you look like on that screen in that outfit. It will be you, not a model, you. Probably they will take the American woman, can't even believe I'm going to say this out loud, and thin her down a little bit to see, wow, I do look good in that outfit. And the American male beef him up a little bit. Wow, I do look muscular and younger in that outfit. Whatever it is, they're ready for us in this holographic images that will be right there. We have to prepare our children to do this. And that's why we spent 2 weeks talking about the temptation of money and buying power. Generations past, they didn't have any money. This wasn't an issue. No one came at us. There wasn't a $200 billion industry of marketing children, let alone what it is to market to everybody else, only in America, right? It's pathetic. But if we don't train them up to handle money, we're sending them out to fail, to deal with their money, to be generous with their money, and then expand that practice from their little allowance in elementary school to budgeting the things that they actually use, like toothpaste, to purchase with their own envelopes, to the internship of what will you need to handle bare minimum ATM card and their own money to buy their own things.
Mm-hmm. And we have to remember in this whole process, kids are naturally impulsive. Right. We all are naturally impulsive. Right. So how do you train that? Christmas time is a humongous training time. With all the hoopla and all the craziness, it's a great time also to train your kids on how to budget, how to buy gifts for others, how to not go and for the whole impulse activity and they want this toy and you buy it for them, they play it twice and they never touch it again. But obviously, year-round, you also have to teach these things to your kids.
Well, they're kids. First of all, we have to realize they're kids. The emails I've been getting on, why do your kids not whatever, they're kids. I'm the one that has to be the adult here, though, and not get frustrated when they don't get it. They're not going to get it. It's the consistency of this is the way it is over and over. They're kids being attacked by a materialistic world.
Yeah, but what happens if they just keep failing?
They will keep failing. They're kids. It's been so much fun this summer at Sheridan House having the big lake, teaching the children how to fit, teaching these 12 and 13-year-old boys how to fish. And there's that one kid who cast it one time, reeled it in, nothing happened, wanted to go play paddleball one time. Mm-hmm. And it's casting and casting and casting and casting and casting. And then the fun thing was, you know, you're almost standing there with them that first 40 minutes when they're all lined up around the lake with their new rod and reel, this funny little $8 Zebco rod and reel and these little lures. And finally, praise God, somebody catches a fish. Everybody throws their fishing pole on the ground with the lure still in the water. So we could have lost 20, 80 fishing poles. Watch them run around to that one kid as he pulls in this little nothing fish. But they won finally. Right. It's the same with our children. We keep casting and cast in the same place, cast in the same place. You keep going over and over and over. And then that one day when you don't see a total triumph, you see a little triumph. We talked in last week even when Roby finally stopped buying these helmets. He still came home with one little 25-cent in-the-machine helmet, but we made some progress. Mm-hmm. You know what? He's 28. He doesn't buy helmets anymore for 25 cents.
Thank God.
Yes, he's not wearing silly bands today. He got it. I think that we have to know my job is to do the training and plant the seeds. God's job is to raise them up. I'm planting the seeds consistently and do this job consistently, knowing they're in an incredibly, unbelievably materialistic world where we as parents, first of all, we don't even teach sharing. We buy every child toys rather than some family toys. We're all going to play with this toy. And we have the Christmas toy that we all are going to play.
Because we don't want the fights.
Yeah, but how will we ever learn to share?
I know, but then there will be never no peace in the house. I've got four stepkids, and when we have to share some things, I really have to think through.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, this is for the girls. No, maybe one girl with one boy. You have two boys and two girls. So do I match them up? How am I going to do this? Oh, it can be agonizing.
Yes, it is. And you're representing every mom who's listening that thinks that Barnes is a moron and must have never really
had
children.
Sharing is fine with two, but when you've got three or four.
No, it's not fine with two. It's not even fine with one because that only child thinks that they're competing with mom for attention.
That's true.
The whole issue here is we're not teaching it. And you brought up Christmas, and it's a very materialistic time if we don't make it different. Mm-hmm. Yes, we gave toys, but we emphasized two other things beyond just what did you get. We emphasized what did you give and what happened, the happening of Christmas. Christmas to us, we needed to take it back because I grew up in a materialistic Christmas, and Rosemary grew up in a family with no money, and yet they would never miss Christmas at their house because they didn't get a lot of gifts. They got an experience and the fun food and the traditional ethnic food that they kept bringing to the table that I'd never experienced before. And this whole experience that was over a week long of the fun of we always did this and we always went to this movie or now we rented and we always had this food that particular two nights after. It's unbelievable. And getting my children into the experience of family at Christmas, getting my kids into the experience of traditions at Christmas, but getting my kids into the experience of leading up to Christmas and after Christmas, what went on in the Bible? How cool is this? Mm-hmm. And this is what we get. This is when we don't even know how. That's why all the angels came. I mean, God put on skin. How'd he do that one? And came as a baby. I mean, why a baby? So approachable. I'll never forget Bob Coy's sermon on why a baby. What's more approachable than a baby? A baby drew people. Jesus came to draw people to the answer, not to religion. Mm. So the whole picture here of fighting materialism and encouraging and plauding triumph. I'm so proud at the amount of money you saved to help buy gifts for others. And then afterwards, as a child buys a gift for his sibling and the sibling doesn't do the big, big thank you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And watching that little face cloud over, I spent the money on that. And saying, as we're gathering up paper and walking out to the garage and saying to the littlest one, come for a walk with me. How'd you feel when you gave your gift to your big whatever? And I expect him to be happier. I was very happy. And I said, let me tell you, you made me happy. You made your dad happy. But I want to tell you something else. I wish you could hear, and you can't hear yet. You made your Heavenly Father happy. This was big. This was huge. Come walk with me for a moment. I want to talk to you. I was so proud of you today. Today was one of the days. I know you're only 8. You were 18 today. You were an adult today. You got a lot of joy out of giving. And one of the things about giving, it's a real hard thing, and I know you're not going to get this yet. There's a releasing in giving, and you have to release expectations of the return. But I was proud of you today.
And you mentioned something earlier in this series on how to be careful how much you get involved in the process of the kids sharing things, sharing money, buying things for each other, the thank yous. Mm. Because if you're out just to make everything fair and just, then you're messing with some of the lessons they have to learn, like this. Oh, well, she didn't say thank you enough. So what do you do? Really, that my justice mind wants to go to the child that received the gift and say, you know, you really should say thank you to this child, which is an important lesson.
I will do that. And I agree with you. I think that's important. The problem is when they're little, you hear a word, thank you.
Yeah. And that's all you get.
Yes. That's it, huh? I think every child, unless we lose them, and sometimes if you've lost them, you've got to get them back. Mm. I think the audience initially that our children are playing for is it is their siblings, but it's also their parents. And you as a stepmom, I don't know that you will ever realize how big an audience you are. They really want your affirmation because you're really like the consummate stepmom because you're also a good disciplinarian and you're good in all these areas. And so to hear an affirmation from you is ginormous. And to hear an affirmation, and I don't know why God gave so much power to dads. Dads have an enormous yes. power. It's kind of like moms have to love us. They have no options. That's why we say things to moms we'd never say to dad. But there's just a big power here. And when you see them handling their money, and when you see they're saving their money, and when you see them sharing their money, and when you see them go get a candy and then come back home with it and bring some to their sibling, and their sibling is either incredibly grateful or thanks, and they shared them. And I would follow them down the hall, and then I would, first of all, say something to the one that didn't really, you know, she didn't have to give you that at all. She didn't have to give you any of it. Mm. But she did and was looking forward to it. And you kind of destroyed the fun with the way you responded. You need to figure out how to do a little better. No. Don't go down the hall right now. You got to get your act together before you do that. But then I'm going to go to that other one who's got a little bit of a cloud face over them now. Mm-hmm. When they offer me candy, I'm going to say, you know what? No, but thanks. I want to thank you for something else, though. I want to thank you for sharing. Share just because it's right to do, and that's what you did. That was really cool. Thank you.
I've had so many situations in the house where it's more been, I don't know the agreement that they made. And one will come back and say, well, I lent you that money. And the other one says, no, you said you gave it to me. And then there's this situation as a parent, how much do you get involved with that? It's not so much of a thank you and a gratitude. Now it's just, okay, this is a whole justice issue, you know?
What did we learn here? Mm-hmm. So that the loss of $2 is momentarily, incredibly, and unbelievably painful, but by 30 years old, it's not. There's a training in here rather as well as a justice. Kids, sit down. Sit down. We need to talk through this a little bit. And I'm not going to debate and judge what happened here. I'm going to make sure we have a walk away from this. So next time somebody asks you to loan money, what we do? I'm not giving it to them. Well, that's one thought. Mm-hmm. But I know you have a big heart, so I want to protect this next time. If we're worrying about a contract next time, and this is what one of you thinks you had a contract and the other thinks wasn't, it needs to be more than what they call a handshake. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give money and you're worried about getting it back, it's just a loan, do it in front of me or dad. Mm-hmm. Let's have a third party there. That's kind of called what it talks about in Matthew 18. Bring a third party to the agreement here. Or next time, just loan money. Or next time, just decide, you know, in that particular instance, it didn't work, so I'm not doing it anymore. But what I want to make sure, and when one of them says, so you're not going to get my money back now, are you? No, I'm not. Sit down. We're not done, though. Mm-hmm. You're in pain now. I don't want you to go through this pain over and over and over and over. The lesson is what? Can you tell me the lesson? I'll come to you or I won't ever do it anymore. Okay, I guess you got the lesson. I'm sorry, and we're done here. Thanks, guys. All of this, and money's so crucial. I want to learn lessons. It's painful to spend your money when you've been duped into it by peers, when you wish you had it later to buy something you want. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's another lesson here. But who are you giving for? Mm. If I'm giving, waiting for people to say thanks, I had one Christmas with my children and never bought another present. Mm. That's a learning process, that thing of gratitude. You're giving because it feels good to even have to give.
Yeah. But it can be so complicated too. We can make it more complicated than it should be because you can do things that are naturally, as long as you keep the goal in mind. But this whole money management and putting a system in place, it's a lot of work. I mean,
It's a lot of work. Yeah, well, that was the first show.
Is it worth it?
10 shows ago. I won't do it unless I catch the vision that I'm cursing my children's lives later on.
Yeah.
And they'll come and say, I just bought something I can't afford and they're repossessing it. Can I talk to you? I'd rather us feel the pain of loss of $2 and $3 now.
Yeah.
It's called parenting rather than management of schedules. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to say when they're 19 or 18 and I'm kissing them goodbye on a college campus, I'm really glad I did rather than the panic I wish I had. Finances are something that you either have a grasp on or it grips your heart. And I want to set my children up to win at this. I want to set my children up to be leaders in this. I want to set my children up to use their money rather than be crushed by their money. And that's about 18 years in the learning. It takes two parents sitting down and deciding, this is worth it. Let's learn how to do it. Let's stay consistent with it so that we're glad we did when we drop them off.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bob Barnes. Finishing 2 weeks of training our children to be financially mature. And if you want more on Sheridan House Family Ministries, where you can find a wealth of resources about this topic and so much more, you can find it online at shfm.org. There are other resources and information about Dr. Bob Barnes as well there at shfm.org. And you can also hear this broadcast of Parenting Today all over again and sign up for the Daily Parenting Blog online at parentingtoday.org. We hope you'll join us again on Monday for another edition of Parenting Today.